So we have the flowers here from Dave Mincer's service we had it on Friday. Great crowd here, and we appreciate Doolin's presence here. Been with Irma the last few days, and she certainly has felt our prayers and support. The celebration continues. I went to a party last night in his honor, and then I have one more event after that. But he was a dear man, and we give thanks for his life. So, Falls Church News Press. So I kind of was just looking at it, you know, picked one up. It was in my yard, and I says, oh, the light's out front. You know, this is the house across the street. I tell if anybody wants to know where Doolin is, I say, you know the house on Broad Street with all the lights? I say, yes. I say, right across the street is where we are. And then I was just kind of thumbing through it, you know, what's going on here? What's going on here? And then I saw, and I says, who are these two good-looking men standing right there? God, they're good-looking. Who are they? And it's Pastor Dave and Mike Beyer. Raise your hand, Mike. Let's show some love to Mike over there. Sure. So we did about the Kirkland Drive. We sent it in a while back, and maybe they got some complaints. Why didn't you run that great picture? So they have here a little late, but worth acknowledging. So I'm glad that we're worth acknowledging, but it was good to be in the paper. I kind of tell you, I always have my preacher friends call me, Pastor Dave, you're always in the paper. I say, well, turn something in and you'll get in too. You got to be proactive with that. But it's a great picture. So if you haven't gotten your copy, go get one, because after church, I'm going to all the boxes and getting like 200 of them. So if you haven't gotten yours yet, you better run and get it real fast. Oh, me. So this past Christmas, I worked with the kids doing their pageant. It had been a long time since I had done a Christmas pageant with kids, and it's always fun to do that with them, and you can always kind of count on some particular characters in the pageant. You know, there's Mary, Joseph, and the baby are at the heart of the story. It's funny with this particular one we had, there was no baby Jesus, but that's okay. And then you have shepherds and angels. They kind of come and go in the story. You have usually some animals that are making their animal noises. You have the innkeeper. The innkeeper is the one that says, there's no vacancy, and slams the door. And then Mary and Joseph have to find another place to go. And then, as we will acknowledge next Sunday, we call them wise people. Wise men, but you wise people will be coming from the east to visit the child. But you know, in the story that we heard today, there is someone missing in the manger nativity scene that we don't hear much about. He is someone who is mean. He's someone who is nasty. We could call him the Grinch of Christmas. And his name is King Herod. King Herod. So when Jesus was born, it was during the reign of King Herod. King Herod was king of the Jews, but he was more of a puppet type king. He didn't have a lot of power. He was in name with the Romans in terms of political ventures. He did a lot of the dirty work that needed to take place. And so we discover that there is a conspiracy that is going on with King Herod and these wise people. So the wise people, they see this bright star and they inquire about it. So they go to King Herod and all of his folks, his consultants and people that tell him what to do. And they say, well, you know, there is this star and there is this prophecy in the Old Testament that there will be a king who will be born in the city, in the town of Bethlehem. And King Herod was a very jealous king. He didn't want to share his kingdom with another person. He had 9 wives. He had some of them killed. He had lots of kids. He had some of his own kids killed. So he is determined that he's going to get rid of this baby king born in Bethlehem. So he says to the kings, he says, y'all go and find this king and then come back and tell me where he is so that I may go and worship him. But the wise men, they figure out he's not going to go to worship this kid born in Bethlehem. He's going to kill him. And so they slip away and they go back to their home in Persia, wherever it is, another way, and they circumvent going back to King Herod. Well, King Herod, he is enraged when he realizes that the wise people, the wise ones, have given them the slip. And so he sends soldiers to break into the homes of all Jewish families living around Bethlehem. And if you have a child that is 2 years or younger, they're killed. They're slaughtered. And there is a beautiful carol called the Coventry Carol. It's an English carol, and it has a verse that goes like this. Herod the king in his raging, charged he hath this day, his men of might and his own sight, all young children to slay. That's the kind of person that Herod is. So we may think, you know, this is a terrible thing, but we know that an angel of the Lord intervened and told Joseph to take his family to Egypt, and there they became part of a Jewish quarter of some kind of town, a town in Egypt. And then they did not return back to Nazareth until an angel came again to Joseph and said, now King Herod is dead, now you may go back to Nazareth. And that's where Jesus went. So you may think, why in the world to bring King Herod up at all? And I think what it does is it makes us realize the kind of world that Jesus was born in. The world of Jesus when he was born, it was not pleasant. You were rich or poor, and there was a lot of poverty. Women had no place. Children had no place. It wasn't pleasant for most people to live. And they were ruled by the Romans. The Romans used them, and you know, Israel was kind of the little geographic bridge between two big kingdoms, and that it would always get caught in the middle of who they were going to ally themselves with. So it wasn't pleasant. So I think that looking at King Herod, he makes us realize where Jesus, when Jesus was born, life was not pleasant. And it helps us to realize that as Christians today, as disciples of Christ, we are to be Jesus in the world. We are the ones who are called to be Jesus' hands and feet. We are called to use our minds to bring others to Christ and to show the love of Christ. And we are called to use our hearts to express how we can love and help others. Because friends, let's face it, there are needs all around us. And so I kind of made a little list, and I kind of tell you this jokingly, but Mike Smith, who is our chair of finance, he and I, we have an appointment once a year at the end of the year where we go out and we spend all your money. And so we're going to be having that appointment sometime this week, aren't we, Mike? And we're going to be going through and looking at all the different areas that we need to pay out for the year. And a lot of it is the outreach that we do. And I just wanted to share with you about issues that surround our community and how we as a church use our hands and feet, our minds and our hearts to help others for what some find to be a cruel and hurting world. So I have a few. I'll just kind of go over these. So one is the Ministry of Hope, which is part of our 8:30 worship service. And there are a lot of resources to take place for this ministry to take place. There's our hands and their feet. There's our financial resources. There's our minds of how to make this work. There's our hearts of how we can reach out in love. Today we had one of our disciples that made a scarf for each one of our Ministry of Hope folks. And we gave them their scarf today and took a picture. And I said, now, if any of y'all don't feel comfortable having your picture taken, that's fine. And they all came up, and they were so proud of that gift that they were given today. And as we were saying goodbye to them outside of service, it's a warmer day today, but each and every one of them were wearing their scarf. That scarf is not just a scarf to them. It's a holy scarf. It has sacred worth. And you just see the difference in folks' lives. Now, one is Grace Ministries, where we reach out to immigrant families new to our community. Redbird Mission. We have supported Redbird Mission for a long time through missionaries. And now we support a dental clinic there. Obamacare does not provide dental care. Medicaid does not provide dental care. So in rural Appalachia, there's not many ways for persons to receive dental care. So we send funds to employ a dentist there and a dentist technician. And then later on, our Sunday school will be collecting toothpaste and floss and all that kind of stuff to send down there to the Redbird Mission. There's L'Arche. L'Arche is a Christian community of persons with intellectual disabilities. Our youth group loves being part of L'Arche. When we first started with L'Arche, we would just kind of go there and have dinner and then leave. And now we go like at 3 o'clock and we get back at like 8 o'clock. Our youth ministry just spends the whole afternoon with these folks and just enjoys the day together. They talk, they share, they fix a meal together, they eat the meal together, they clean up together. It's just wonderful. Rebuild. We do twice a year where we go to houses in our area and fix them up. A Brother's Brother, this is by Dr. Barry Beyer. They do medical containers, and they send medical containers and instruments and that kind of stuff all around the world. Falls Church Homeless Shelter, which is down the street. In my little Christmas editorial for the Falls Church News Press, I mentioned there about one way you could reach out is to support the Falls Church Homeless Shelter. And so I got a call a couple days later from the director there, and he said, Pastor Dave, thank you for putting that in there because they've just been overwhelmed with financial gifts to support the homeless shelter. A lot of it is just letting people know the need. I have discovered here, even at Doolin Church, when we know the need, we will respond. Sierra Leone. We continue to support Sierra Leone, which is their child rescue center, which started when they had a civil war, and folks, they were chopping off people's arms and legs and had lots of orphans. And so for the last few years, we've been taking care of orphaned kids. Appalachia Service Project, which has kind of evolved into a church-wide event. It started as youth, and now we have adults being engaged as well. And we have sent out, if you would like to be interested in that, and we have some new folks that have signed up. So that's one way that we help. We go to West Virginia. Falls Church Community Service, that's located over at Knox Presbyterian. That's where they have a food bank and assistance for rent and for utility bills. Homestretch. We all love Homestretch. And I'm going to invite one of their clients to speak to us in the winter about how Homestretch has made a difference in her life. This was a woman that was really at the bottom of the bottom, and how Doolin and Homestretch lifted her up and her family where they can live a good life. ESL. We continue to have a wonderful ESL ministry of several levels and new people coming in to learn about English so that they can be part of American culture and society. One of my favorites is the AIDS Walk. I enjoy that. I'll keep on trying as long as I can go. And to be part of that and to know that Doolin Church is making a difference in people's lives. And our Sunday school, our United Methodist Women, there's so many groups here that support to let others know that Jesus Christ is alive through what we do here at Doolin Church. So I give thanks for you for a great year here at Doolin Church as we now move into 2020. when I get with Mike, and if we start to run out of money, then I'm going to get on the phone and I'm going to call some of y'all and say, you know, Mike and I are here and we need some money to finish up. Help us out. It's going to be a little Pastor Dave call-a-thon. So make sure you answer the phone when I call you. But it's going to be great. We're going to be good. I get a little nervous with it, and Mike is the faithful one, and he just keeps me calm when we get with that. But just thank you for all that you have done for a good year as we move into 2020. And that's the good news in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we all say together, Amen. Amen.